Make yourselves comfortable.
That's right. Pull up a chair.
Oh, pull up. I must.
What's going on, sports fans, and welcome back to another edition of Insights from the Locker Room. I am your host, Derek Bone Crusher Dennis, back in the building. Sorry, I've been on a little bit of a hiatus. Episodes haven't been dropping. It's currently, you know, a little busy. Had a baby girl a couple months ago, you know, being a dad, enjoying life, trying to make stuff happen. I'm sorry. But I told y'all before, it's all about quality, not quantity. So I'm going to try to give you guys the best episodes I can give you. But today, it's just going to be myself. We're going to talk some sports. We're going to talk all sports because the sports world is kind of back in motion now. We got some stuff to watch on, live events to watch on TV, and it's fun, man. Again, I don't want it to take away. I'm glad, like, what the NBA is doing in the bubble with the social justice reform. I don't want that to be lost in thought. I want y'all to continue to think about that, think about what's going on. If you haven't got a chance, go back, listen to some of the previous episodes that I've recorded. Some great content, got some great guests talking about some mostly football. That's my sport. That's the sport I play. I play football, so football is always going to kind of be the main topic. But then we get some other guys to talk about some other stuff on here as well. All right, don't fret, my brothers. We're going to get it done. All right. Okay, so today we're going to talk mostly football, like I just said. So we're going to talk NFL coming back. Welcome back, NFL. Well, the guys are in training camp. They didn't get to games yet, but still in the process. But NFL is back. NCAA trying to make some things shake. They're going to do some stuff. We're going to talk about that as well. Also going to talk about Canadian Football League, CFL. We're going to talk about the situation with that as well. And we are also going to talk about the biggest news in football world that dropped. The XFL is back, baby. Yeah! I'm hyped. I played in XFL. I played in every league. If you don't know my background story, I played in every football league. But XFL being back, good news, great news. And the biggest news is who actually owns it now. Dwayne, The Rock Johnson, Danny Garcia, and Red Capital are put in the highest bid to buy the XFL at $15 million. But I'm not going to talk too much in detail. I'm going to get into that in the segment, XFL segment. But we're going to talk about the XFL being back. So hope you guys enjoy the episode. Locked in, and let's get into this next segment.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody, stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
Wait.
Everybody, calm down. No.
The XFL. Yeah, get excited. We're back, baby. I say we're because I was a part of it before, but I'm excited, man. Especially because of the new ownership group. The biggest name of the three, of course, everybody talked about, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who's one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood, and who's a former athlete, and who's a former football player, and his ex-wife and business partner, Danny Garcia, in Redbird Capital, and Jerry Calentile, if I'm saying that wrong, I don't know. Ownership group buys the XFL assets from Alpha Entertainment. They're in the proceedings of in the bankruptcy court of getting things finalized. It's not final yet. I don't think the final sale will be done until the 21st of August. So by the end of the month, we'll know for sure. Once everything goes through, no hitches, no problems. Hopefully it does, and they could get moving forward, getting the league back up and running. Hopefully, with the idea of playing in 2021 in a bubble, probably that's what sports is going to be moving forward. Bubble formats. Yeah, see what the NBA is doing, what the NHL is doing. Both leagues doing a great job. And, you know, bubbles cost some money. But I think when you have the limited amount of teams XFL has, probably be about 8, it won't be as expensive as some of the bigger league bubbles. But, I think the biggest thing that comes out of this is the entertainment element that The Rock and the ownership group is going to bring to the XFL that they probably didn't have before. And it bodes well because, you know, you heard about ESPN and Fox, you know, not fully attaching themselves to it like how they were before. I think the broadcast of the last iteration of XFL was dope. It was great, man. It was fun. I think people enjoyed watching it. I think people enjoyed watching it live, too, in the stadiums. It was good football. Man, it was a little sloppy, yeah, but what football league isn't a little sloppy, especially a new football league with new rules, all right? So that's just comes with you know, football. If you play football before, you know it's not the easiest game to pick up, and it's not something you could just roll out the ball and guys are just going to be spectacular off the jump. That's just some societal bullshit that people feel like, if you're going to entertain me, you better do it right or don't do it at all type of shit. Just cut it out. No one's perfect at anything. If you've lived life long enough, you'll realize that. So, yeah, I think the entertainment factor is big. It's going to bring a different element to the XFL that it didn't have. And the name The Rock. Who doesn't want to watch anything The Rock's excited? Honestly, if you watch Titan Games, I watched the first episode of Titan Games. That thing was dope. I enjoyed it. So if he can bring that type of effect to the XFL, not that specifically, but the entertainment value that he brings is unprecedented and it's unparalleled, and not too many people are going to be able to. And it helps that The Rock has somewhat of a background to understand where a lot of the players are going to be joining the league and be playing in the league. He understands where those guys are coming from. So that's something that hasn't been seen before neither. So I think that's a dope element to everything. I think the XFL has a shot to succeed. Here's why I think the XFL has a shot to succeed. If they do it right, and when I say do it right, I'm saying like Kenny Robinson's story. If you're familiar with the XFL, Kenny Robinson was a fifth round pick of the Carolina Panthers, but he played in the XFL. He lost his college eligibility through something on campus, West Virginia, got kicked out, mom's cancer, going through stuff, figured I need to make some money to help out my family. XFL gave him that opportunity to play, get paid, and still keep his eligibility to get drafted into the NFL. I think that right there is the moneymaker. That is the essential thing that they need to grip on, lock on, and they can find a way to get five-star, kind of what the NBA is doing with the G League. If you can find a way to get five-star athletes who don't necessarily care too much about going to school, because most, let's be real, most guys don't really care about school. They don't really care about going to school. They don't really care about getting an education. And let's be real, most CEOs in the world don't even have college education. They're dropouts at some point. And most people who get a degree in something have a very hard time struggling to find their way of getting a job in that field that they study. That's just the reality of the world. So for athletes, all they care about, especially if you put all your blood, sweat, and tears through the years as a youngster to be good at your sport, that's all you care about. You don't care about nothing else. So I think if they could find ways to get five-star athletes who want to make money and, you know, play for 2-3 years making some bread and then go to the NFL, they get guys who are, you know, stars in college who get into some trouble, get kicked out. Kind of like, think about it. If Tyrann Mathieu, when he got kicked out of LSU, instead of sitting out, was able to go to the XFL, play, make a little money, then go to the draft. I mean, he still got drafted ultimately, but what factor does a guy like that bring to the XFL when he can play, get a fan base, start his pro career early? I think giving guys that it's a concept that I think LaVar Ball tried to do, you know, with his sons and all that when he started his league. It was a very smart concept. And plus, you know, you're kind of tapping in on the NCAA, who's going through some stuff right now with their football players. But I'll save that topic. But you see how all these college players are opting out and don't want to play because of COVID and all that. Say XFL gets jumping in spring of 2021, and those guys who decide to opt out and their school screwed them over and took their scholarships and X, Y, and Z, those guys go to the XFL, make a little check, get paid, still get drafted in the spring when the season's over. It's a promising situation. And if you, like I said, if they do it right, if they lock in on that tidbit right there, because that right there could be the thing that helps the league survive, helps the league build a fan base and keep it. Because to be honest, if you could see their local five-star athlete go, you know, play on TV, you know, every weekend, his family sees him, friends see him more, the world gets exposed to him and not just the area. I mean, guys would hop on that in a minute. That's what these high school kids, five-star high school athletes are doing now. They're bypassing college and they're going to the G League to make $500,000 as opposed to going to school for free and making the school billions of dollars and getting nothing from it but a free education, which this really is not that free. You got to bust your ass for it. Trust me when I tell you, they ain't giving it out for free. But yeah, I think the XFL has a golden opportunity right now to capitalize in that area right there. And also, you know, guys who didn't latch on to the NFL and all that. But I think if they lock in on that group right there and kind of help get them in, that's going to be big. That's going to be a big move. That's going to be something that could change the game. So, excited to have the XFL back. Excited to get things popping. Hey, I'm a free agent still, Dwayne. So if you need an experienced lineman to come in, you know what I'm saying? I can even coach, man. If you need me to coach some dudes up, I can show them some things, get them right for you, boy. Holla at you, Benoit. All right, I'm here. But the next segment kind of rolls off what I already talked about. We're going to get into the NCAA, what's going on in NCAA right now with the players and how college football season is looking. So stay tuned. Now, let's talk about the NC2A and what's going on with them. They're going through some SHIT right now. A lot of the college football players are trying to opt out. Same thing that's the NFL players are doing. I mean, it's a little different premise because those are pro athletes. They get paid to do the job. They have that right, I guess. But why don't college athletes have that right? Because college athletes don't have any rights. They don't have anything. They don't have a union. They don't have anybody to represent them. They don't have anybody to protect them. Because the NCAA, which is supposedly meant to protect college athletes, always take shit away from them. Always stop them from doing what these kids work hard for and dream about. But they're there to protect them. They're there to help kids make their lives better by getting them an education. They're probably not even going to fucking use when they're done. Just the irony of it. NCAA makes so much money off these kids. So much money off these kids. And these kids get nothing but a free education. And let me talk about that for a second, because I was a D1 athlete. I went to school on scholarship. I played football. I always had the issue with regular students and people, fans, always making it seem like we got it so good because we're on scholarship. Oh, you get to go to school for free. What are you complaining about? Oh, you're getting your education paid for. What are you paying about? Oh, you're getting your room and board paid for. What are you complaining about? Oh, you're getting meals. You're getting free meals on campus. What are you complaining about? Bruh, you know how hard we got to work to get that stuff? You know how hard we got to work to keep that stuff? I think the problem with a lot of people, they've never had a scholarship before, an athletic scholarship. And they think scholarships are 4 years automatic. No, newsflash, they're not. They're 1 year renewable, which means your coach who gave you that scholarship, who sat in your house, sat in your mom's living room, told your parents that he was going to bring you there, help you become a great young man, give you a top-notch education, and you're going to come there, play football, and you're possibly going to go to the NFL. They did all that. And if the first year you don't code it and show up, you don't perform, you don't do what they tell you to do, when to do it, when they ask you to do it, and how they want you to do it, they can tell you, you know what, fuck you. Give me that scholarship back. Go find somewhere else to go. That's really how it works. So for the people who've never done it, never been there, never don't understand it, that is exactly how shit works. All these people, grown folks, who get paid lots of money off these kids' backs, there's blood, sweat, tears, hard work, and the kids get nothing but a free education that it can be taken from them at any point if you don't do what I tell you to do, all right? That's the life of a college athlete. That's the life of a D1 athlete. So when I see all these college kids talking about opting out and unity, and I love it. I love it. It's beautiful. It's long overdue. All right. All the things I've been going through. You see it if you're on social media. I don't know. I'm on Twitter all the time. Everybody's got to be on social media because we've been in a pandemic going on. Yeah, you know, so everybody stays on their phone anyway. But if you see all the stuff that's going on with all these coaches really don't care about these kids, man. Let's call a spade a spade. I mean, I've been through it. I've gone through it. I can tell you on how many hands, how many of my college coaches I still speak to? Donuts. None of them. None of them speak to me. None of them interact with me. None of them text me, see how I'm doing, how my life is doing, how my kids are doing. None of them. Zero. Zilp. Zilch. Zero. Now, Some guys have that relationship. It's very few who do. Me personally, I've never had that relationship. But I think that's due to a lot of people didn't like me because I'm not a kiss ass. I never was a kiss ass. I'm still not a kiss ass. Probably why I don't have a football job right now. It's because I don't kiss ass. That's just me. It's how I was raised. I can't help it. I'm sorry. But man, these kids, they're fight right now for what they're going through. I love it. Because they're pretty much going to be told to play football. And the only people that's making money is the universities. The only people that's making money is the NCAA. The TV deals that they have, they make... The NCAA makes billions of dollars off of these kids all across the country. These universities make billions of dollars off these kids. I'm talking about like Dallas Cowboys are worth $5.5 billion. The University of Alabama football team alone brings in about $1.5, maybe $2 billion. That might be a little bit of over. I feel like they do, but there might be a little bit of over exaggeration. But they bring in hundreds of millions of dollars, because think about it, and you play in a national championship, that's about 500 million right there. So I think the University of Alabama, the football team, comes close to making $1 billion a year for the university, which pays for everything. So all the students that complain about the athletes thinking they're so privileged, all the fans complaining the athletes thinking they're so privileged, those athletes, they blood, sweat, and tears that they 365 don't get to go home. No, they in summer school. They ain't there for the spring. They there in the winter. All the breaks that all the regular students get to go home. Parents, football players still on campus, still working, still taking classes. All right, I've been there, I've done that. Those guys are the ones that's bringing in all the money for all the other sports teams. That's bringing in all the money for the new buildings. Bringing in all the money for the nice books. Bringing in all the money for the expensive things that everything. The paying the faculty, all that. All that. I actually saw a tweet from a CFL player. He tweeted, somebody he knew tweeted him, said, "Yo, I got a buddy who works at a big university, and he said that all the teachers own beach homes, basically because the football team brings in so much money. That's why the teachers are so high paid. That's why the university costs so much to go to. The football team is the attraction that brings in all the money. So the teachers feel so bad that the kids don't get paid, that they give the football players A's to try to compensate for them not being paid, because they're paying for everything and everybody else. Everybody else is eating off of them, and they don't get anything. So teachers feel so bad they're giving them A's so that they could, you know, pass and get their degree, which they're not going to use. No one uses it. I said it before in the show. You get a degree, and it's very hard to crack into the field that you got the degree in. It's very hard. Not everybody works in the field that they got. They basically get the degree so that when you fill out your job application, it says, "Oh, I went to university, I graduated." But I mean, the only difference is regular students probably have some debt. Football players or athletes normally don't, depending on the type of scholarship. If you got a full scholarship, you won't have too much debt when you leave school. You'll have a little debt. I mean, it'd be a couple thousand, because they'll find a way to get something out of you. My school used to get us for like dorms and books and stuff like that. So you mean you're going to leave. If you want to keep your college helmet, they're going to charge you $500 to buy the helmet from the school. That's just the reality. Everything costs money. Everything is money driven. That's America. America, point blank, period. Everything is driven by the almighty powerful dollar. So, yeah, these NCAA athletes, man, I hope they stay strong, man. I think the NCAA is going to find a way to let the players unionize, because like I stated previously about the XFL and what the NBA is doing with the G League, allowing these high school athletes to bypass college and get paid and still have eligibility to go pro is that's going to be the new wave. And the NCAA, if they don't change their ways, they're going to get left behind, and they're not going to be as relevant, and it's not going to be as powerful, it's not going to be as popular. I mean, college sports is fun to watch, and the reason why we love watching college sports is because of the raw emotion of it. Those kids are out there playing for the love, they're playing for the joy, they're playing for their education. So the passion that they play with, the speed that they play with, you know what I'm saying? Everything is higher because they're doing it for the love. It's not about the money. But They're going to have to find a way to start paying these dudes, because you can't be bringing in millions and millions and millions of dollars off these dudes' backs and they're not getting anything from it but a $100,000, you know, education, which if you add up all the scholarships on a football team, it doesn't touch, it doesn't even scratch the amount of money that the schools get from off these kids. So I hope they find a way to unionize it. I hope they find a way to pay these dudes, because if they don't, and XFL jumps on, you know what I said before, if they find a way to get these five-star high school athletes and pay them $100,000 to bypass going to college for a year or two or three, and you know, just to, you know, and they're getting pro experience and they're getting coached by, you know, probably former pro coaches and yada yada so and so forth. Like I said, the Kenny Robinson, if that can become a regular for the XFL, they got a chance to steal some juice from the NCAA. So that's my spiel about the NCAA right now. They need to get together. I hope the players stay strong. They have my support. I'm behind them 100%. And I don't think there should be any college football, especially with a lot of campuses closing and doing the online classes and not being in class anyway. There's no need to have these students, these children on campus playing so that you can get your money. There's no need for that. That's inappropriate in itself. They should have never even thought about it, but I get it. You want to act like, because we're paying, the excuse is going to be, oh, they got on scholarship. They have to, you know, we're spending money on them. But BS. Send them kids home. Let them kids go home. I know a lot of them, it's hard too, because you're going to always, especially with football, you're always going to have those guys who, I just want to play. No, dopey. Look out for your brothers, man, because you being a guy who I just want to play ultimately is who they're counting on to screw over the masses. So get in line. Stay with your brethren. I hope they tighten up. Also, too, that TCU situation, that's crazy. I think it could have been avoided. That coach is an idiot. We're in cancel culture. Cancel culture is pretty much been the wave for the last 5 years. Pretty much has been gaining momentum, and it's at an all-time high right now. So you thinking that, you know, I've had college coaches say some crazy stuff to me. And one of them actually, you know, he got into some ish. At a job later down the years, but he used to say some crazy stuff to us, like talk to you like if my parents heard the way they talk to us sometimes, my dad for sure would have fucked somebody up. But you saw P. Diddy go through it with his son at UCLA and his son Justin, you know what I'm saying? So college coaches, tighten up, all right? So that situation, yeah, probably was out of context. He probably didn't mean it the way it took it, but it's cancel culture, buddy. Can't run around here dropping N-bombs. You should have just said N-bomb. You can't just said N-word. Normally, white people say that to begin with. White people normally say that to begin with. But you dropping the N-word around a bunch of young black kids, especially in the climate of society today, was a huge no-no, regardless of how you meant it. So you're done, buddy. Get up out of here. Throw him in a pan with some oil, fish, fry him up, fillet him. You're gone. See you later. All right. So, yeah, if you don't know, go look at it up. TCU situation. It's a little crazy. It's probably dumb, but it's going to be bigger than what it would have probably would have been 10, 15, 20 years ago. So, yeah, that's my spiel. And then the next segment, we're going to get into talk CFL and NFL, throw those in one group, and then we're going to talk a little bit more sports. So stay tuned. All right. I had to use the bruh sound for this next segment because I'm going to talk about the NFL first. I'm going to talk about the NFL first, then I'm going to talk about the CFL. I'm going to do it all in one segment. First, let's start with the NFL. Yes, football's back. Excited. We're excited. Yes. Here's my bro with the NFL. I don't feel too confident they're going to finish the season. They do have the money. They figured out a way, I guess, to do some safety protocols and all that for the players. Got that approved. I follow a lot of my NFL buddies. From the past that I played with, and a lot of them weren't too happy about how things were going up until maybe about a couple days before rookies were supposed to report to training camp. I guess the big news with the NFL is giving the veterans the chance to opt out, because we all know rookies are not going to opt out. Those are the guys. Those are the I want to play football guys. I don't care. You know, they probably ain't got no kids. They ain't got, you know, but probably if they got the money, they're not living at home with their families or nothing like that. Those are guys who don't care. Those are guys who have the least amount of risk, I guess, of getting their loved ones sick. But the older guys, the veterans, the guys with kids, guys with families, guys with older parents, stuff like that. I guess they gave them till Thursday, so two more days to opt out. And yeah, man, I think it's foul. First of all, how everything is structured is the only way you get the opt out for the high risk is you got to have a certain amount of ailments or illnesses on your medical report. So if your medical report doesn't say that if this guy catches COVID, it could probably be deadly for him because he has a lot of stuff going on, you get $350,000. That's pretty much that's what you get if you get injured on a base contract. That's pretty much like a like injury settlement or like putting being put on IR. You get $350,000, you get to get the credit of the season. And if you choose to voluntarily opt out, which a lot of guys are doing, you get $150,000, which is like an advance on your base salary, but you have to pay that back next year. So even though you're getting $150,000, they're going to find a way to take it back from you. If you decide, hey, I'm not going to play due to health reasons, due to, you know, I have people at home who may be at risk, you know, all that stuff that's very possible right now with a pandemic. I have serious issue with that because now you're putting a lot of guys in a dilemma because everybody knows how the football business goes. And a lot of guys are probably scared to opt out because they don't want to lose their spot. They don't lose their job because surely enough, the NFL is going to find somebody to replace them. And you don't know if you show up next year to camp when everything's back to normal, everything is good, what good standing you're going to be because you chose to stay at home and protect your family. Now, some guys have that ability to do that if you're one of the big superstar guys. Like if Aaron Donald did it, no one's going to fret. He's going to come back next year. Everything's going to be fine. They're not going to beef. He doesn't even need the $150,000. So he doesn't care if they try to take it back or whatever. Like it's minuscule to a guy like that. But then you got the majority, but that's the small percentage of the NFL. Most of the guys are probably going to play if they decide to. Some of them may opt out. You may see some big names opt out by Thursday. Don't be surprised if you see some big names opt out by Thursday. Not too many of them. And most people are going to use whatever, you know, like Tom Brady. Someone's going to use Tom Brady as an example. Oh, Tom Brady's playing. Why can't you play? You know what I'm saying? Like everybody's situation is different. Respect guys' decisions. Respect their decision to do it. Everybody applauded Lavernay. I don't even know how to say his goddamn name, French name, to the O lineman from the Chiefs. Who's a doctor. So most people are not going to berate him for doing it because he's a doctor. Honestly, I don't even think playing football really is a big priority for him because with that doctorate, he's going to make way more money off the field than he ever did. He's going to make way more money being a doctor than he ever did on the field. But a guy like that gets applauded, you know, for making a decision. He was the first one to do it. But I think the title of doctor, him having that doctor title is probably why everybody applauded it so much. But he does have a firsthand experience with dealing with COVID. I guess he's working in a home in the off season, you know, doing a study. So he probably has a better understanding of it. So I think when a guy like that opts out, I think it should have been a red flag for the NFL. But of course, they're going to find a way to spin it not to be a red flag. Because at the end of the day, these leagues, they want the TV deals is where the money at. They need their bread, boy. They need their money, baby. So this, you're going to have to play. If you don't got to play, I know somebody out there who's going to be thirsty enough to play. Like I said before, the NCAA dudes. Those guys who are I just want to play football are the dangerous ones of the group. I think that's also going to tie in to the second part with the CFL and what's going on with them. They get a big bruh because they fumbling bad. They had months to figure this out. Matter of fact, they had even before when the other leagues were canceling, before the season even started, to figure this shit out. The fact that we're going into August and they still don't have a clue. I think they have a clue. I think they know what they're going to do. I think they've been doing what they're going to do. I think my theory on it, and I mean, it's just my opinion. You take it for what it is. Take it or leave it. But I think they already knew they were going to cancel the 2020 season at a certain point. They just couldn't come out and say it because fan base was, you know, all these sports are back. But you got to understand, the bankroll of the CFL is not the same as the NFL. It's not the same as the MLB. It's not the same as the NBA. And I think the NFL should take a page, take a look at what's going on with the MLB, because they're going to have those same issues that the MLB is going through with guys popping up during the season positive for COVID. The problem is NFL rosters are 3-4 times the size of a baseball roster. Whereas the baseball roster has 30 guys, the max is 30 guys. Probably, I think it's 28 that baseball decided to have. Football has 53, active 53. You know what I'm saying? Then you got another 10. Now what I'm hearing, 15, 16 for practice squad. So you're talking about 60, 70 guys, including staff, including everything. I think the NFL should really pay attention to what's going on with the MLB, because they're going to have those same issues and they're probably going to be on a bigger scale, because there's no way you're going to keep guys in a bubble. You know, there's no way you're going to be able to protect that. I think that's why you're seeing guys now start slowly trickling. The guys are starting to opt out because they see what's going on with baseball and they just don't want to take that risk. Honestly, I don't think it's worth it. I know the NFL is going to want to try to play. I know people want football. I know they need to make that money from the TV contracts, but again, you got to think about the players, man. And as much as, you know, I think that's, like, again, societal stuff, not caring about your fellow man or caring more about money and dollars more than anything. You got to think about it, man. No one knows nothing about COVID. No one knows how COVID is going to affect people. So to put the almighty dollar above your fellow man is kind of messed up. But it's the way of the world. It's the way of America, pretty much. The rest of the world is pretty much back to normal, except for us. We're the only ones. North America. So, again, tying that back to the CFL. Like, they need to just pull the plug, bro. They need to just let dudes know what's going on. I know a lot of guys are already working jobs, already trying to find ways to make money. Everybody's been scrambling to find money for the last couple months. If you don't know, CFL players go at least 6 months, no pay. And now that this would have been well into the halfway mark, going to the second part of football season, 18 games, guys now have gone eight months, almost 9 months, no pay. And not everybody's getting the Bo Levi money, and everybody's getting the Mike Riley money. Or any quarterback, any starting quarterback in the CFL, no one's getting that type of money. Only other person might be Willie Jefferson, and, you know, Jaguari, those type of guys who pay, you know, teams who pay their DNs a certain amount of money, close to, you know what I'm saying, a higher figure. But everybody else getting pennies, getting peanuts, getting nada, nothing. So I think the CFL, I think they already plan on canceling the season and getting ready for 2021. It's be interesting. I think the biggest thing to keep an eye on is interesting how their business model is going to change, because that's going to need to change. I think a lot of owners want the season canceled, because then that's an easier way to change the business model, which as apparently they have to do. There's no government funding coming. If there is, it's going to come at a price that they don't want to handle. A lot of Canadian people are just not that big on helping the CFL, which is, I mean, I get it. I'm not here or there. I get it. Because if it happened in America, I don't know. Maybe a lot more Americans probably would have been gladly paid more taxes if they could keep their football. But that's just priorities. American priorities are different from Canadian priorities. It's just what it is. But yeah, I think the CFL will be fine. They're not going to fold. They're not going to disappear. The one owner, I watching a little clip from Rod Peterson today. So, MLSE, I think they're going to buy the league. That makes sense. With Rod was on to something right there. So I think if to save the league for future, I think one singular owner is the key to go. It's going to be kind of hard to pull it off, but I think they're going to try to find a way to at least bring it to the table, because that's the one owner who has an influx of cash that can hold the league over for a couple years until it finds a new business model, a new footing. So shout out to Rod Peterson. That was a very, very smart point, you know, even if it's not true, even if people don't want to hear it or believe it, it sounds like a realistic option to go for. But yeah, so that's my bruh moment for when it comes to the NFL and the CFL. The pandemic, football, I think, is the one sport that the pandemic is going to ravish because it's going to be hard. So when it goes to NCAA and it goes to NFL, it goes to CFL, high school football, whatever it is, football, I think, is the one sport that's going to be affected the most by COVID. Even though, and that's only just for the simple sheer fact of the amount of bodies that requires the game to be played. That's the only reason why football would get reps, because it's not like it's the only contact sport. There's wrestling going on, there's boxing going on, there's UFC fights, there's all that going on. But the sheer amount of numbers of people that are involved to make it happen is what's going to make it very hard on football. So I hope they figure it out. I hope things probably could go back to normal soon enough. I hope they figure it out. If not for this year, for the future. But yeah. So, to the NFL, to the CFL, bruh. Well, that's going to be it for me on this episode of Insights from the Locker Room. Oh, quick. Shout out to the New York Yankees, baby. Yo, and shout out to Aaron Judge. Been killing it since baseball started up. Baseball is looking like it's pretty doomed if they don't figure something out quick. But I like the Yankees start, man. They've been playing well at home, especially. I like the Yankees roster as well. I think they got a shot to do some things this year. They got a shot to do some things every year, and they never do. But I legitimately think the addition of Gerrit Cole, big, major, 3 games at home, Yankee Stadium, he's been crushing it. So that was a huge get for the Yankees. And Judge has been playing out his mind. Giancarlo Stanton playing out his mind. Boys is balling right now. I'm hyped. I hope they can keep it going. Normally they have a little area where they get hot and then they cool off. So hopefully they keep it going. I think the addition again of Gerrit Cole, big. So shout out to the MLB playing. Shout out to the NHL as well. Rangers always suck. I'm a big Rangers fan. They always suck. But second team is the Flames, and I know they're playing the Jets, Winnipeg Jets right now. I don't like Winnipeg. Look, Winnipeg. Nah. I heard the Flames been doing well. I haven't been keeping tabs on NHL too much. No one watches hockey in the States. Sorry, my Canadian fans. But yeah, shout out to the Calgary Flames too. Hope they're still killing it. I'm going to have to go check the scores when I get off. But again, that's it for me here. Insights from the Locker Room. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope you guys are enjoying having some live sports again. NBA as well. Hope you guys are enjoying, you know, some content, man. It's a nice little change up. But again, like I said in the beginning of the show, don't let us lose sight of what's going on right now. We still in the fight for change. We still in the fight for equality. We still in the fight for a better overall society globally. All right. So don't forget that. Again, like, share, subscribe to the podcast. If you like it, listen to it. Share it with your friends. Like, subscribe. We're on all major streaming platforms. Looking forward. I got two episodes coming up soon with some old teammates from the CFL. That's going to be really cool, really cool. We're going to talk some conspiracy theories with some guys. We're going to talk some business with some guys. We're going to talk some stocks. We're going to talk family life. We're going to talk about everything that ain't got nothing to do with sports, but you're going to hear from some athletes, because no one likes to hear those things from athletes. All they want to hear about is sports. We're going to talk about some real life stuff. But again, that's it for me here on Insights from the Locker Room. I love you guys. Keep listening to the show. Keep sharing. Again, like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. And in the great words of my brother Russell Westbrook, I'm out.